So on Sunday, I asked the question, how is the Lord's will done? How does the Lord's will get done? Because see, what we, if we don't understand how the Lord's will gets done, the Lord's will isn't going to get done. Because he has a plan and he has something that he wants to do. He is an architect, but he's not the one who's been sent and assigned here on the earth to actually complete it. That belongs to us. And so we began to discuss out of Isaiah 1 and 19 that it says, if you're willing and obedient, you will eat the best of the land. And see, that willing and obedience, that willingness and that obedience is what opens the door for his will to be done. Because he can do it, and he'll do it even if you're resisting. Okay? Because I've had him do it. Okay? Now, don't ask me. Don't look at me all holy. Yes. Yes, like that. So, he's willing to do it. Even if we're not willing to do it. But his will is best get done when we choose to cooperate and consent. When we cooperate and consent, now then his will is done and expressed in the perfect manner that it's supposed to be expressed in. And that willing and obedience is what changes destiny. It's what changes history. That willingness and obedience is what separated Abraham from all the rest of his brethren. That willingness and obedience separated David from all the other brothers. That willingness and obedience is what separates Polo from all the other people who are at his work. That willingness and obedience is what happens when we choose God's way. I don't want to reteach a Sunday, but I just want to recap a couple of points. One is that The willing, basically, if you will consent or be willing and obey, that word obey is actually the same word that is often used as hear. To hear. Because see, in the Hebrew understanding of the word hear, it contained elements of hearing, the physical thing that happens on your eardrum, and the mental stimulation that happens when sound hits your eardrum, but it also meant parts of obedience. Obedience was, and to do was to hear and to obey was what actually is released in that word. And see, the word hearing, and true hearing is exemplified when we actually take action on what is heard. To hear means you engage the transformation. We're presented with so many wonderful testimonies here. So many wonderful mysteries are revealed here. But the deal is that what separates is what do we do with it? Do we allow it to transform us? Because that transformation is what separates out those who have heard and those who just merely had something happen to their eardrum. There's a big difference. Because see, what you choose to do with what you hear. What you choose to do with what you hear. Because what you do choose to do will separate out what's going on, what's going to happen in your life. Joseph had a dream from God, and he explained it to his brothers, and he winds up in a pit. Then he gets out, and then he has interactions with a man who now makes him his number one guy to come alongside, and then he has a false accusation made against him, and he winds up in a prison. But if Joseph hadn't continued to hear God, Joseph stays in the prison. But because he could hear God, and because he could hear what God was doing, and he didn't give up hope, because why? He had a word inside of him that says, I'm going to rise up. I'm going to be the sheep over the other sheaves of my brothers. And so he didn't get sour or bitter because he allowed this word to guide him, but he also allowed himself to hear the next word. And then he allowed that to bring him into the place of number two in all of Egypt. If, like we've said on Sunday, if Abraham hadn't heard the word when he was about to make that sacrifice, Isaac doesn't exist anymore. And the whole testimony that God was setting up would not have been done through him. The whole covenant that was being offered could not have come through him. So our willingness and obedience makes a difference. And so this, with that as a background, I want you to turn with me to John chapter 12. While Miss Sharon makes it back off of the floor. Well, of course, that's why I did it. Hallelujah. So John in chapter 12. And this is just days from the Passover. This is just days before he's going to ultimately be sacrificed and resurrected. All of this is coming in the next 2 weeks. And here in this moment, he says this, verse 26, says, anyone serves me, if you're willing and obedient, are you serving him? Yes. I'll answer for you, yes. You can nod your head with me. Yes. If anyone serves me, what? Tough questions. Yes. Hallelujah. No one wants to say anything because they might be wrong, right? We've done this. I fell for that trick before and I'm not doing it again. Right? No, this is a simple one. Just say yes. Hallelujah. So if anyone serves me, let him follow me. And where I am, there shall be my servant. And if anyone serves me, the Father will honor him. It's interesting that every one of the Gospels here captures this idea of following him. All the others basically come up and like in Matthew 16, it says, deny yourself, take up your cross, and follow me. All three of the other Gospels say it that way. John says it even more intimately here, because why? He's setting a setting for you to come into his presence, to be where I am, to be where with me. When he says follow me, it's not just follow where I've been walking. In other words, he was making it clear there was a separation and a distinction. He wasn't looking for somebody just to follow in his path like some duck, following one behind the other. He was looking for people who would do and act in the same way and come into the same place that he was preparing. That what's fixing to happen in this next 2 weeks is preparing something for you to come and follow. He makes that abundantly clear in chapter 13, in its verse 36. See, he says right here, he says, where I go, you cannot follow me now, but you shall follow later. In other words, you can't come to the cross with me because there's no point to that. You can't come to that cross because that's not your assignment. You can't come to that cross in that moment because that's not what I'm asking you to do. I'm asking you to enter in with me. I'm asking you to come and follow after me. Let your heart be attached to me. Let your heart follow me and walk in the way that I have walked. So when we hear this, follow me, oftentimes we get really just maybe a little bit religious about it because we don't stop to think what it means. I want you to think of what it means tonight, because one of the things that it means is that it's, in other words, if he's asking you to follow him, it means it's possible. He wouldn't ask you to do something and then make it impossible for you to do. Every instruction of the Lord carries with it the grace to complete it. And so we got to quit looking at following him as something that I've got to do in my own flesh and my own strength, Lily. We got to do it in his strength and in his grace and in his mercy. Because when his strength and his grace and his mercy come about, those are the things that will allow us to actually more perfectly match what he's asking us to do. The more that I enter in with him, the more that I engage with him, the more that I encounter with him, the more I can actually follow him. When I follow him, it means it's now possible for signs, wonders, and miracles to go with me where I go, because they did with him. And if they did with him, I don't have to settle for less. Sometimes we, how do I say it? We don't persevere enough. Okay, and now I'm going to put my hand up here because I don't want you guys to be the one that has to do that. But sometimes we don't persevere enough. You know, Todd White, when he was learning how to pray for people for healing, the first 1,000 people, according to his testimony, that he prayed for, nothing at all happened, and he still did it. He didn't stop. I can't say that. That is tenacity. That is to be admired. Okay, regardless of whatever else, that's to be admired. Because, you know, when I've prayed for some people, and then other times I was like, I remember at Walmart, I was walking across the parking lot, and I saw this guy get up out of his car, and he kind of seemed a little gimpy. And so I was like, no, I'll go pray for him. And then he walked from behind the car and there was no leg. And I was like, ooh, never mind. I mean, hello, you might as well pray. What could it hurt? It can't hurt anything. It's not like I was going to actually make that leg grow out. So it's the same power. It's the same authority. And what if I had done it and it happened? That's the thing that we got to look at, is not what's the negative, but what's the possible? What's the positive outcome that could happen? What's possible when I stretch myself in Christ? Amen? So and this means, so it means that it's possible. His instruction contains the grace to accomplish. It means when he asks us to follow him, it means that we can know him, that we can see him. Because how are you going to follow something that you can't see? So when he gives you that simple instruction, follow me, it contains with it automatically all the dunamis that is required for you to see him, Victory. You're going to see him. You can see him, and because you can see him, now you can follow him. And you can be with him where he is, because that's what he wants you to do. So sometimes we get so wrapped up in believing what the enemy says that we don't truly engage what the Father says. Let me put it this way. Have you ever heard words of condemnation? Just raise your hand if you've heard words of condemnation. All right. Words of shame. Words of fear. Words of doubt. Okay? So everybody's heard these things somewhere, some point in time in your life. Did you ever question those words? Did you ever question, what, you know, did I actually hear that? Because the reality is most of the time we don't even question that. And if we're not questioning that, why are we questioning the words that God speaks? Golly, it got really quiet in here. I mean, I could just, pa-ching. The deal is, we will question whether or not God said something to us all the time. But when a word of condemnation, when a word of fear comes around, we don't question that. We just go, oh, okay, and run with it. But the reality is, God is more capable of speaking to you than the enemy is. We just got used to thinking in the terms that the enemy was wanting us to think. And so we break that habit. We break that agreement. When we start getting willing and obedient, we're breaking agreement with what was before, and we're attaching ourselves to what is now. We're attaching ourselves to the purpose of God. We're attaching ourselves to the plan of God. We're attaching ourselves to His presence and to His life. And suddenly now, because I'm attached to His love and His life, I no longer even hear the words of shame and condemnation. I don't hear the words of doubt. I find that when I am really, truly engaging Him, those other voices get so dim, I don't hear them. Toss it away. Toss it away. See, we can follow what we can see. So when He tells you to follow Him, He intended for you to be able to see Him. When he says, follow me, it means that we can actually know the way. We can actually see and understand what my way and what my path is supposed to be. Sometimes we spend a lot of time questioning that, and the reality is God will make it plain. And if you have questions about what the way is, well, you got a whole book of starter pack right here. A whole starter pack. Pretty much anything that you see in your New Testament, anything you see in those four Gospels, you know that's the Father's way already. And when you get through practicing with those, He'll give you some more. When you get through practicing, come back, come to me and I'll help you find some more. Amen. But you got a starter pack. He healed the sick. He made the blind see. Made the deaf hear. Raised the dead. Walked on water. Come over this weekend while we're doing the baptisms and you can start practicing. Wear your best suit. Show some faith. Glory to God. So we can know the way. We can know His way because He's already outlined it for us. When we're looking and we have all these constitutions and we're looking at these constitutions, you can realize the Constitution is nothing but more scriptures, okay? So you can know the way. It's the whole purpose of setting out a vision is so you can know the way. That's what we've majored on in a lot of ways is showing people how to find the way. The purpose of that is so that you can be with Him perfectly where He is. So you can be with Him not only where He is physically, but time-wise as well. See, because if I'm with Him, but I'm with Him 500 years ago, it's different than when I'm with Him today. It's different when I spend time with Him and where tomorrow is bringing. I'll let you think about that one. So when He says, follow me, it means that we can actually know the will of God. That we can actually know the will of God. The will of God for your life. The will of God for this time and age that we're in. You know, there's a whole lot of darkness around. But we can know the will of God is not for us to major on the darkness, not to be concerned with the darkness. For what we're supposed to be looking to and walking in is the light. And as we share the light, that means that we have that we can share the light and that others can come into a place of light. Okay, you look like you need a scripture for that. John 8:12 says this, "He that follows me shall not walk in darkness, but shall have the light of life." And not walk in darkness, but have the light of life. If I have the light of life, then I'm no longer subject to the darkness. I'm no longer subject to everything else that everybody else is. So rather than woe is me that all this stuff is going on around us, let's turn our heart towards Him and turn our heart towards the light and see what the light would respond to the darkness with. Because when we respond out of light, when we respond, because Jesus didn't respond out of the same darkness that the Pharisees were coming to Him with. He responded out of the light of the Father. Because Jesus did it, we can do it. We can respond out of the light of the Father. We can respond out of a heavenly light that will begin to expose the situation for what it is. At the same time, it releases love. Remember that John 8, you know, he was dealing with when he said this about they'll have the light of life, they'll not walk in darkness. That was right after he was dealing with the adulterous woman who was caught in the very act of adultery. And rather than condemning her, he exposed the darkness in everybody. Because see, what they were doing was illegal. They brought her there, but the man wasn't there. And actually, if somebody's getting in trouble, they're both supposed to be in trouble. So the issue was never justice. The issue was trying to trap Jesus, and he exposed their heart. When he wrote in the sand, he's exposing their heart. It was the light of life coming into the situation. It was the light of life saying, here's what you're thinking and here's what you're doing, and I'm writing it out for everybody to see. See, we don't have to walk in darkness. Now, if you know when you encounter somebody what they're fixing to do, isn't that pretty empowering? It used to happen to Dave, and I've seen it happen in myself too, where I encounter someone and I know what their capacity is before we ever actually exchange words. That doesn't mean you change how you exchange with them. You still exchange with them in love, but you know what they're capable of. And you know when they're capable of, hopefully you can see when they're capable of changing as well. But you still treat them and release light, release love. Hallelujah. So, with all this in mind, we can start expanding our understanding of who the Lord is, but we can start expanding our willingness to interact with Him. Our willingness to be used. Our willingness to be that light that He called us to be. We can more perfectly follow Him in our daily walk. It's his goal for us to perfectly match who He is, to represent. When we're representing, we're representing who Christ is. And so we can more perfectly do that simply because we're choosing to walk in willingness and obedience. We're choosing to hear in the Hebrew way. We're choosing to be transformed. Because see, that's a transformation process. To lay down yourself and pick up your cross and follow, that's a transformation process. You know, it's necessary for us to lay down self. The thing that gets us, well, I won't say us, I'll just say me. The thing that gets me most in trouble is selfishness. Because when I'm acting in selfishness, then that means I'm not acting in godliness. I didn't need that extra amen. That was the one time today that you didn't need to say that. There was lots of other really good opportunities, Tim, and did you choose that one? Wow. I've lost my train of thought now, but hallelujah. Amen. Glory to God. But see, we're expanding what God's doing. And when we expand what God is doing in us, when we expand our willingness and our obedience, guess what? The will of God gets to be able to be done in this earth. Thy kingdom is coming. Thy will is being done. It's His will being done. It happens through those of us who will interact with Him. It can happen even if you choose not to sometimes, because it does. But it happens more expediently if we'll actually engage it and be purposeful about it. Glory to God. See, sometimes when we're dealing with being willing and obedient, you know, I won't say it this way. I'll say it this way. There's times when I can get really goal oriented. In other words, if I'm on task and something comes and interrupts my task, I don't always interact the way I should when I'm on a task, and especially if that task isn't going the way it's supposed to, and then somebody comes and interrupts that task. Because when your goal is being blocked, guess what? That's a moment when that can be a real trigger moment. Because my goal is this, and you're in the way now. As a pastor, that's not the way I'm supposed to be. You know? The people got to come first. The tasks, you know, that's an old cycle. The tasks got to, you know, they have to take second place in that moment. So, but what I'm saying is this, if you examine your life, a lot of times when you get frustrated or angry or something like that, it's because somebody blocked a goal that you had, even if you hadn't named that goal yet. They were in the middle of between you and completing your task. For example, when my children were not coming up in a godly manner, then they were blocking my goal. So it creates a frustration. All right? When you're trying to finish a test and somebody comes and asks you a question, now my goal is blocked and they get snapped at because why they asked the question and it interrupted my train of thought. So these are the things, they obviously don't represent Christ-likeness. It's just part of selfishness. Why do you guys like these stories? I hope it's because you can identify with it. Not that I'm not the only one out here, so we can identify. But see, one of the things that I had to learn is that life and interacting and all this is as much about the journey as it is about the goal. Whatever I'm doing in my life, whatever I'm pursuing in my life, if I make the goal the only thing, I'm missing the value of the journey. Right now we have an opportunity because all of us are in a journey. And we can enjoy the journey. The more we engage and enjoy the journey, the less likely that we're going to be concerned with somebody who's blocking the goal momentarily. Because I know in my heart of hearts that God can accelerate me past the blockage anyway. And so when I keep that in focus, then that allows me to actually be willing and obedient and interact with others like I'm supposed to. Amen? Amen. Glory to God. Hallelujah. So when he says follow me, do you have a more complete idea what follow me means? The follow me is an empowerment. It's not only an instruction, but it's an empowerment. Just like in Isaiah 55, where he said, my thoughts are not your thoughts and my ways are not your ways. It wasn't to just tease you. It was an invitation to step in with him. It was an invitation to hear him. Because he says, hearken to me. Because if you'll hearken to me, then I will make those things yours. So we can step in with him. He's given us the opportunity to hear him more completely. And the more completely, or the more you respond to what you hear, the more you're going to hear. Because it's like putting an edge on a knife. The more you hone it, the better it's going to be. The more you practice with it, the better it's going to be. The more you sharpen, the more you bring it and file it down one more time, one more time, one more time, the sharper your hearing gets. Amen.